Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's go straight out to the HRMP guest line. Joining us now, the voice of the Astros, Todd Kallas. Conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop and Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. Todd, when we talked last week, hey, maybe we'll come back next Friday, talk about a couple series victories. Well, that's what we got. A series sweep against the Rockies in Mexico City. Take 2 of 3 against the Guards, who had the best record in the American League. Show's coming around, starting to play a little bit better baseball.
Yeah, it was good to see. They really needed it. 7-19 is not where they wanted to be after 26 games. And so, nice little 4 wins out of the last 5 games, and now a big series with Seattle. So this will be a good test to see where things actually are.
Todd, I'm curious, in all your years in baseball, have you ever seen the scenario that played out with Jose Abreu? I know when we've had you on previously, we've talked about, you know, him maybe going on the IL, or, you know, trying to them doing things a little differently for a while to try and get him going, get him right. I know, speaking just from myself, but we talked about it on the show, very surprising the way it all went down and what actually was the decision that played out. But also credit to Jose Abreu for making a decision that a lot of players wouldn't have made.
Yeah, he had to approve. He had to give his vote of approval on that decision, because as a veteran, he could have easily said, no, I don't want to go down there. But he did what he felt was best for the team and also for him at this point. His family does live in South Florida, so that helps the situation a little bit, is that he'll be basically at home working out in West Palm Beach. It's not unprecedented. We've seen guys go down before, maybe not guys as decorated over their careers as Jose Abreu, but even last year when Alec Manoah was struggling with the Blue Jays, they sent him to single A in the Florida State League to get some reps and get some innings and get back into the rotation. It happens every once in a while, but it is very rare. It's basically a reset for a player of Jose Abreu's caliber. They just felt like the timing was off. He wasn't improving at the major league level. It was going to be hard for him to see improvement at the big league level, and they wanted him to just get that swing right before they thought about bringing him back. So, yeah, it is unusual. It's not unprecedented, but good on Jose to say, you know what, I need to leave the team for a little while and get right and see what can happen.
And reading all the quotes on it too, TK, kind of to Blinker's point, it seemed like everybody else in the clubhouse very complimentary of the selflessness of Jose Abreu making that move.
Yeah, I'm not sure if every single player in that clubhouse would have been able to do the same thing. I mean, you'd have to ask them individually, but that's a big ask. I mean, you're going down, you're working out in the heat of Florida as May turns into mid-May and then towards June. It's not going to be comfortable for him. Would he rather be at the big league level, taking charters to all the major league cities and staying in the best hotels? Absolutely. But for what he's going through now, he felt like that was best for him, and good for him to allow that to happen.
TK, we're seeing starting pitchers come back. We know that that Javier now is close. We know that Urquidy is right after him, and then how that affects the rotation. We were talking about it earlier in the show today. Hunter Brown hasn't been his best. You got a decent performance out of Arrigetti. Is it going to be where these two guys now for the next couple of starts are going to be compare and contrast and looked at and trying to figure out who stays and potentially who goes? Or do they look at expanding the rotation to 6?
I think both, actually. I think they are both in competition with each other for now, and I think at some point they're going to go to 6. So they have the off day to play with Monday before they start the series with the Yankees. But then after that, they'll play 29 games in 30 days. So somewhere during that stretch, you're going to get Christian Javier back, and then you could still have Hunter Brown and Spencer Arrigetti in the rotation as part of a 6-man if you want. If you decide to go to five there and go to six later on, then it is a competition between those two. But then you also mentioned Urquidy. At some point during those 29 games in 30 days, Urquidy will be back as well. So if Javier comes back or Urquidy comes back and the other three all stay healthy, Ronel Blanco, Framber Valdez, Justin Verlander, then you're talking about another competition between Brown and Arrigetti, even if they go to a six-man rotation. So it feels that way. They named Hunter the starter today for Sunday. That hadn't been done prior to today. Arrigetti has started kind of irregularly twice now in the last 17 days. So they've been pushing him back and sending him back and forth to the minor league. So we'll see how it plays out. But whenever you start to see guys come back like Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy, and you have competition for Hunter Brown and Spencer Arrigetti either as the five or the six, then that's a good thing.
Also starting to see the back end. Todd Callis joining us on the HRNP guest line. Todd, you're starting to see the bullpen, too. Start to pitch a lot better, the big three especially. Abreu's been good. A little shaky in his last outing, but got out of it, didn't allow a run. And the last time we saw Josh Hader, he went out for a second inning. When you saw him come out for the second, did it catch you off guard?
Absolutely. We haven't seen that in 4 years, and he hasn't finished two innings in almost 5 years. So, yeah. It was obviously one of those situations where they're coming off a stretch where Josh didn't pitch in over a week before he pitched in that game Saturday in Mexico City. So he was well-rested. Joe Espada didn't like doing it. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't do it again all year, or maybe not until late September in a huge game possibly. But those were desperate times for Joe Espada. He really wanted to win that first game against Cleveland. He felt like his best opportunity to win an extra inning was to have Josh Hader with that strikeout ability in the 10th inning. And it worked out for the first two outs, and then David Fry got a double against him, and then the Caratini heroic saved the day. But I don't think you're going to see that very often. Good for Josh Hader to say, you know what, this hasn't really been part of my plan the last few years, but I'm willing to do what the Astros need in the first year of a five-year deal now that I'm locked in for a while. So it was surprising to see him come out there for a second inning, but I don't think you'll see that again for a while.
TK, interesting, a little bit of a lineup shakeup in the batting order again tonight, and this time it's Bregman going to the cleanup spot from the two-hole. I'm wondering, is that as far down as you think that he will go, or they're willing to go with him as he tries to get right and find that stroke? Because of the fact that there's so many variables, because of, you know, what he's been here and what he means to this team, and we know he's capable, and the fact that his contract is coming up, we've had fans calling in every day and people commenting wanting to put him lower in the lineup. I'm just not so sure that they're willing to do that. Is that as low as he'll go in the four spot?
Joe Espada was asked that today in his media session, and he basically said for now that's as low as he's willing to go. Now, if Bregman's numbers are where they are now at the end of the month or toward the end of the month in a couple of weeks, then Joe Espada's going to have a tough decision on his hands, because you really can't just continue to have Alex Bregman in the top four spots in the lineup, no matter what his track record is. If he's 50 games in or closing in on 50 games in without seeing improvement for what we see in the first 30 games of the season. It just hasn't been Bregman, but he's always been a slow starter. You show patience with him. You assume at some point in May he's going to figure it out. It just hasn't shown up lately. I know it's frustrating for Astros fans to watch. And the other thing is, I mean, right now Jeremy Peña is hitting ahead of Yiner Diaz. So Joe obviously likes Peña's production a little bit better than Yiner. Jeremy, you know, to me doesn't feel like a true number four type hitter, but maybe Yiner does a little bit more if he is hitting the ball well. But there's not like that one guy you could point at and say, my gosh, how is he hitting five or six instead of Bregman? He should be in the four spot. I think it'll be interesting to see if Yiner or Peña had to hit four one day, what that would look like. I'm not sure if that's a comfortable spot for them or not. But for now, you're going to see Alex there. I'd give it at least two or three more weeks. But yes, if this continues on through the month of May, then Joe might be forced to make something happen.
I was a little surprised by the timing of switching Tucker and Bregman around, because you're winning games. If Spot is mentioning he's not going to drop Bregman down lower than four. I was surprised that he flip-flopped the two of them after they've won four of the last five games. What do you think led to the timing of making that change?
Bregman had a couple spots yesterday with runner on third less than two, and the barrel just got underneath the baseball a couple times, but he popped it up, and he's obviously trying to find it. He's searching right now. So I think Joe is looking at the quality of at bats lately. Kyle Tucker's had the best quality of at bats of anybody in that lineup for the last I want to say 2 weeks now, even over Altuve. So just like his theory early in the year of getting Yordan Alvarez more at bats by hitting him in the two spot, he's going to go with the hot hand now and Kyle Tucker in that two spot. I know what you're saying. You've won 4 out of 5. Don't mess with success. But
yeah.
Joe's looking at it like, hey, we can still get better even while we're winning. And he's been rotating those 2, 3, 4 guys all year long. Or Yordan was there earlier. Tucker was 3. Tucker moved to 4. Now Tucker's in the 2 spot. I kind of like the way this one looks. We'll see what happens. Yordan needs to get going, too. I mean, everyone's talking about Alex.
Yeah.
But Yordan's in a bit of a slump as well. I think he's over 16 or so. So those 3, 4 guys have to do something against the Seattle staff. Not the easiest thing in the world.
I guess in a roundabout way, TK, he's saying that he values the 2-hole more than the 4 spot.
Oh, yeah. He looked at the 2-hole as the guy that he wants to get the most at bats. And I think we talked on one of the first shows of the year about the 14 at bat theory. Basically, every spot in the lineup gets 14 more plate appearances than the spot behind them if you stay there the entire year. So the leadoff hitter gets 14 more plate appearances than the 2 guy, all the way down to the 9 hitter. And the 9 hitter gets whatever that number is, 9 times 14 fewer at bats than the 1 hitter, 136 or so, 126. Fewer bats than the 1 hitter. So, yeah, the theory is you want your best hitter to get the most plate appearances. So, yes, while you want your cleanup guy to be the cleanup guy, it's not looked at as in the days of old where that's always your best run producer. They want to get the hottest hitter and the guy who's going to do the most damage, the most at bats. That's why you see Altuve and Tucker in the 1-2 spots tonight.
TK, with the Abreu move, with the fact that once the move was made, the thought was there's going to be a platoon still at first base. It's going to be Singleton with Loperfido. And we saw Dubon play there late in the game the other night, where it was a bit surprising because Cabbage has played there in the past. Now it looks like, because of the power surge of John Singleton and the fact that he said, hey, look, I know when I know that I'm going to be in the lineup multiple days, he feels more comfortable. Is this now where he is going to get the majority of the reps at first base?
It looks that way for now. That could be temporary. It could be, you know, a week or two. We'll have to see. I mean, John's earned more playing time. You can't take him out of the lineup based on what he did in that last series. He basically helped win the game last night with that 2-run home run. I know the Astros piled on with 5 more in the 7th, and that Singleton home run in the 6th was a game changer. And then he helped, you know, with that 3-run home run in the game on Tuesday, to, part of their 10-9 victory. So, yeah, you're not going to expect John Singleton to have 2 home runs and drive in 6 runs every series, or else he'd be the MVP of the league. But if he could keep contributing in that first base spot, whether he is 6th or 7th or wherever Joe puts him, that he's going to stay in the lineup. So this is kind of, you know, he's at the point of his career, guys, where he needs to make something happen. And had he had a really bad series against the Guardians, I don't think he would have seen him in there tonight. And maybe he would be just used as a pinch hitter a couple of times in the series. But Joe is going to ride with him now that he's hot. And John said when he talked to Julia last night, you know, getting back in that lineup 3 days in a row certainly helps. So now he'll be in the lineup for a 4th day in a row. And I think he's got a little bit of a leash now to see what he can do. And then I don't think you're still going to see Loperfido get some starts over there at some point. You're still going to see Mauricio Dubon against a tough lefty get a start over there at a certain point. But for now, John Singleton facing these Mariners is going to face 3 righties. So he'll be in there, you would assume. If not all 3, definitely 2 of the 3.
Todd, it was weird to me the other night. I think it was game 1 at Cleveland, the first extra inning game, where, you know, a few substitutions. Actually, I think it was game 2, where you had Loperfido, Cabbage, and Dubon all in the game, and it was Loperfido in center, Cabbage in left, and Dubon at first. I would figure out of the 3 of those guys that Dubon would have been the last of those 3 that you saw at first base.
Yeah, that's a good question. And that was kind of like a mid-game a change there. So I'm not sure why it ended up the way it did. Obviously, he likes Loperfido in center. I think they're slowly wanting to work him into that comfort zone at first base. Cabbage has played there before at the big league level, so he would have been fine over there. But Joe just decided to go with Cabbage in left field and Dubon at first. But I think they want to take their time before they put Loperfido over there. Make sure he's 100% comfortable with everything else going around at the big league level before he has to deal with the position that's demanding at first base.
Todd, we all have to know, because it's all over social media. Are you working on the nickname for Joey Loperfido? Are you against the J-Lo nickname that everybody's pushing for? Where are we on all of this?
So I don't even know what's going on. So people are pushing for J-Lo? Or
oh, Blummer's getting defensive because they accused him of saying J-Lo, and he said, I said J-Lope. And people are constantly thinking about that. And is there a home run call already for him? The Lo Perfido fever is sweeping Houston.
Yeah, the funny thing is, and other than my, you know, using the number whenever a guy gets one on the train tracks, I don't always. I did a few for Yordan, Air Yordan, direct flights, blah blah blah. But I usually don't do specific calls for specific players, like you hear John Sterling all those years in the Yankees.
Right.
But Plummer usually does his tags that are more player specific. So for me, I don't even think twice about it. I don't think I'm going to use a nickname on a call for Lo Perfido's first home run, but that's something that you may be better off asking Plummer, because he might have a tagline ready for when and if Joey gets that first one.
Good
after
on you.
After social media, I'm not asking Plummer that question, because he got a little defensive last night.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was going back and forth on that one. But yeah, I don't think we're going with J-Lo for sure, but I don't know what we're going with.
Yeah, appreciate the time, TK, as always. Hope you call a few more winners before we talk again next
week.
Keep
them going. Yep.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you. Have a good weekend.
And Todd Kallas, the voice of the Astros on the Shin, joining us on the HR&P guest line. Our conversation presented by Texas Star Grill Shop, Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. Start shopping for your new vehicle at LanceZCars.com. Boys broadcasting live from a Sam Houston Race Park. When we return, what's your reason for optimism and pessimism for the Stros? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, Doc Linville is the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. He does a ton of stuff. He does plastic surgery, spa treatments, Botox, something that you might be thinking about for Mother's Day. You might want to get your significant other. But the bottom line is he can help you, too, because he is the best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what it is, but you got pattern baldness, thinning, bald spots, you're losing your hairline, you don't think there's anything you can do about it, you don't want to do the sprays and the creams and the foams that just gimmickly mask the issue, then you go to check out the NeoGraft. And right now, because you listen to us, you can get all the information on the NeoGraft procedure for free from Doc Linville just by going to 975hair.com. You don't have to put any money down, no signing on the dotted line, no commitment to make. Just you ask questions, you get answers, and they explain the procedure. You see if it's right for you. It was right for me. I did it. I couldn't be happier with it. I got my hairline back. You can do the exact same thing and get the same kind of results. Because as Doc explained it to me, genetically, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go elsewhere. He takes some of that and repurposes it where you need it most. Maybe it's like thinking about in your yard, repurposing and replanting sod. That's exactly what he can do for you. And he can do it, and in basically 6 to 9 months, you see the results. It's a phenomenal process. It's painless, and it works. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com. Save the $150. Meet with Doc and his staff, and see if you're the next in line to reap the benefits of the NeoGraft procedure. Tell him I sent you by. He's the best in the business, and he's right here in Houston.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
Killer Bees indeed broadcasting from Sam Houston Race Park. They are your spots for live Friday night racing. First post coming up at 6:30, so still an hour to get over to Sam Houston Race Park. Also, just $5 admission. That's outstanding. That's awesome. Lily Oak drink specials. Wear your pink in honor of the Oaks Lily in support of breast and ovarian cancer. You can also place your wagers for the entire Churchill Downs card tomorrow, including the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. If you're looking for a place in town to watch the Kentucky Derby, I'll look no further than the Sam Houston Race Park. It is the biggest derby party in the city. Gates open at 8 a.m. They have a $500 grand prize for the best derby hat and, of course, mint juleps on a Kentucky Derby Saturday. Blankers, 713-780-ESPN, what's your reason for optimism and pessimism for the Astros? What do you put more importance in, the second spot in the lineup or the fourth spot?
I think, based on what you heard TK say,
I want whatever you think.
No, I know, but I think that you and I have had a lot of conversations since the time we started doing this show about just that very topic. And I've come around a little bit more to where, you know, old school baseball is always the cleanup hitter is the most important spot because he comes up with the most runners on base and you have more opportunities. But you want your best hitters to get the most at-bats you possibly can. And you see whether it's one or two. You see where Schwarber hits and you see where Aaron Judge is hit and you see where Bryce Harper's, guys like that. I would like to see my two best hitters in the top two spots in the lineup. I would love to see Altuve and Yordan be 1-2. Now, obviously, Yordan is struggling of late, but you know he's one of your two best hitters overall. I think it's hard to argue for what he's put on the board since he's been a major leaguer. I would prefer to see Altuve and Yordan in the 1-2 spot and then roll from there, but that's just kind of where I've come around to based on us talking about it for the last however long.
Yeah, I kind of... I don't know. I guess I teeter on traditional versus the new school. I think that the cleanup spot and the two spot are a tie. I think that the three most important spots in the lineup are 1, 2, and 4. I also agree with the Jeremy Booth logic that, like, each individual, like, these aren't computers. These aren't bots. They're not AI. That different hitters strive in different spots in the lineup. Like, I love the idea of Jose Altuve batting in the middle of the order because he hits tons of home runs, and it feels like you're wasting those home runs because there's nobody on base. But Jose Altuve doesn't hit well with runners in scoring position, so you have him at the top of the lineup. I think Yordan feels more comfortable in the 3-4 spot. I think Yiner Diaz doesn't really hit very good with runners in scoring position. He hits fine whenever the bases are empty. So I do believe in the feng shui from a Dusty Baker, a traditional manager. Like, they are human beings. They do get comfortable in certain spots of the lineup. But it's like, I don't like the lineup. I don't like Bregman hitting fourth. You've been winning baseball games. Right. You've been scoring runs, too. Like, these two games that you've won at home, you scored 8 runs yesterday. You scored 10 runs in game one. Yes, it was Mexico City, but you put up a lot of runs in Mexico City. So, like, things are going good. You won 4 of 5 games, and now you're moving. Like, if you want to move Bregman, fine. But I also agree with the logic of not moving him because the team is rolling. The team is winning. I think that the first, second, and fourth spots are the most important spots in the lineup, that there is no chance that I'm placing Alex Bregman in one of those spots. I think second and fourth are tied. I think Joe Espada absolutely thinks the second spot's more important because he started Yordan Alvarez there. Now he's trying to get Bregman out of there. When he's reeling, he's using Kyle Tucker, who's hot, in that spot. So Joe Espada's definitely telling us the two spot is more important than the fourth spot. I don't necessarily agree. I think it's a tie. Yeah, it's nitpicky, I guess. But my big contention is you're rolling, you're playing well. Why make a change now? Secondly, why in the world would you have Alex Bregman in one of the most three important spots in your lineup?
Yeah, we both agree. I don't want Bregman anywhere in there. But the thing I was going to ask you, because we know baseball players more than most are creature of habit, and that's why a lot of changes, there's a lot of apprehension to making any change at all. But I'm almost of the school of thought now with new modern age baseball, too, that if you've got guys that are hot and you just know, hey, like we've talked about, you know that you have a pool of guys that are in your top four, that are going to be in your top four no matter what. No, under normal circumstances. If Bregman's out and someone else is in, so be it. But if you get a guy like Tucker that's hot, you can slide him up to the 2. If Yordan's cooling off a little bit, you can slide him down to the 4. And that those slots become interchangeable, especially 2, 3, 4.
But again, you're diminishing the value of 4. Like, you're saying that you want the cold guy in the 4 spot because it's not as important as the 2 spot. So, like, that defends what you're saying. And I'm not saying that you're wrong, but it diminishes if you think the 2nd and 4th spots are equal. Now you're saying, well, let's just put the guy that's cold there. I think that the 4th spot has a very real chance of being the most important spot in the lineup.
It can, but and I don't know if you want to throw the 5 spot into this, but the bigger point being, though, is that if you do want to capitalize on the analytics and you do believe that the more bats, the better for a guy that's hot, and there's no disputing the fact that Yordan right now is cold and he's got an 0-for slump going, and yes, he's barreling up some baseballs, but you need to get him going, that you could see where the logic says put Tucker in the 2 and slide Yordan to the 4, and then if Yordan starts heating up, you can adjust accordingly. But and obviously Bregman stays out of that mix. If you want to slide someone else in, then you can consider that as well, I guess. But I'm just saying, with more modern-day baseball, you do see some teams, and a lot of it's because guys don't – they're not as adamant about their routine and, you know, the whole – creatures of habit thing to uh-huh. where you can see it in that top four, guys could change slots.
Well, the second spot is going to get more plate appearances, but the fourth spot's usually going to have more critical plate appearances because
right,
you're getting the guys on base for him. If he's coming up in the first inning, that there's somebody that's on base or somebody who has scored. So that's where I'm at there. Like, that's why I think second and fourth are equal. That's why I don't care if you're on bat second or fourth. Alex Bregman shouldn't hit in either one of them, but if he's batting second and you're winning games and you're scoring lots of runs, then okay, like I can understand keeping him there. You know, TK pointed to the fact that he came up yesterday with runner at third, less than two outs, didn't get the job done. That's baseball. Like when you're reeling, baseball is going to find you. Like you're going to be in spots like that, and usually the cleanup spot has more RBI situations than the two spot. So like, well, you know, give Bregman a break. You're not giving him a break when he's batting in the four spot. You're probably increasing the leverage of his opportunities, actually. And then the whole Yordan thing, like Yordan actually this year, small sample, yes, he hasn't been himself. Yordan hit .277 with an .827 OPS in 24 games at second, batting third, he's hitting .138 with a .501 OPS. So like, is he more comfortable batting third? Is he better in the three spot? So like, these are the little nuances of the lineup and stuff that I find interesting. But what I found the most interesting is that Joe Espada, on two separate occasions now, Yordan batting second to start the year, Kyle Tucker now batting second when he's hot and Alex Bregman is reeling. That's the second time that Joe Espada has told us that batting second, it matters more than batting fourth. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't agree with that. I think it's equal.
I'm curious, too, if would you think that Yordan would have apprehension or that Yordan would negatively react if he was moved?
Why would he? He's already been moved. He was moved to two, and now he's been moved to three.
But on the flip side, don't you think that whether he shows it or not, that it bothers Bregman?
Where Yordan's hitting?
No, where he's hitting, if he's moved down.
I don't think it bothers him between second and fourth, no. Because I think that that's equally important.
Yeah, I can see that. If it goes lower than – if we get to the point where Bregman goes lower than fourth, I still think Yordan could deal with it, and I also don't expect him to continue to slump. But I think that if Bregman goes down past the four spot, I think it will affect him.
Yeah, I think it's after that. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't – I think that I'm he's fine if he's – in terms of like an ego point of view, I agree with you that anywhere in the top four is fine by Bregman. I do think that he would find it insulting if he was outside of the top four. I agree with that, yes. 3830, you explained batting order, slot importance. It's only a three-hour show.
You know, just tried.
If you're batting first versus you're batting ninth, you're going to bat more often when you're batting first than ninth. First versus fourth, first is going to get more at-bats than fourth. Fourth's at-bats are usually going to be more important than first at bat. So like, obviously you want your best hitters at the top of the lineup. You're trying to stat, you're trying to get your best hitters to like the biggest leverage at bats. That's why cleanup's so important, because usually there's guys on base. If he bats in the first inning, there's a guy on base. If he doesn't bat in the first inning, he's leading off the second. But yes, more traditional, you know, analytics would say that, you know, top of the order the better, first and second the better. I think the three spot's overrated because it bats more often with two outs, nobody on, than any other spot in the lineup. I don't like Yordan there. So that's kind of the gist of it. 2180, big fan of our worst hitter with absolutely zero pop at four. Dude hasn't hit more than one home run since Vietnam. It's a little bit of a stretch, but mostly. 3417, what's that?
Wow.
Yeah, 3338. If he wants to be in the top four, start hitting like it. That's another good point. But it's just weird to me that Espada on two separate occasions says that he values the second spot more than the fourth spot, and that's not logic that I agree with. I think that they're equal. I think that they're equal. And quite frankly, I'd rather have Yordan batting cleanup.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's the more modern day approach to the lineup to say that. Managers that, and I don't want to say it's just completely analytically driven, but I think the more modern day approach is that the two spots are more important than the four. I was always brought up through the game.
Well, yeah, that's not necessarily true. Like, I mean, analytics don't say that. The analytics don't say the second spot's more important than the fourth.
Just in terms of the more at bats.
They say that they get more at bats and they want their best hitters to get more at bats. But you also have other analytic people that say that their best hitter should bat fourth because it has the highest leverage at bats. So, like, it's just because, like, analytics doesn't say second's more important than fourth.
But I was raised in baseball my whole life. Cleanup was the most important position in the batting order because of the run batted in potential and because of the scenarios that you paint. The two-hole was almost like another guy that could get on base. The two-hole was a guy that didn't have the value then that it obviously has now.
Yeah, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right, let's get your reason for optimism and pessimism for the Astros and also this massive homer take that I saw earlier today. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a weekend upon us. The weather has been awful. A lot of the golf courses are underwater. You want to still play golf. You don't know if you could do that. You can if you go to X-Golf and Katy. X-Golf and Katy is absolutely phenomenal. And it is the best spot that I can recommend for golf simulators because it is just like hitting your golf ball on the course if you were out there playing outside. But you're inside in the air conditioning with all kinds of great TVs in the best sports bar environment you could think of. Tons of TVs, great food, great beverages, and oh yeah, 8 unbelievable X-Golf golf simulators where the putting and the chipping are realistic, just like every other shot. And every shot is trackable from the distance to the spin to the direction. It's all things that you can do to help hone your game in, including using your own golf balls if you want on the simulator. Put them into the machine. When you're done, take them out. That means you get the exact kind of feel as when you're hitting your golf ball on the course itself. You can play at night. You can get a simulator when it's raining and you miss your tee time. It's fantastic, but the only X-Golf simulators in the Houston area are at X-Golf Katy. I encourage you to get on the internet. Go check it out. Make a reservation for a bay, because once you do, if you're a golf fan, you go there once, you're going to go there a whole lot more. They got leagues, two-man scrambles. They got individual play. They got tons of opportunities for you to win prizes and mingle with some great people with like-minded golf love and sports bar love. Check them out today. Go to X-Golf Katy right now.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park.
Indeed, Sam Houston Race Park, the place to be tomorrow. Always the place to be. Live racing tonight, first post at 6:30, $5 admission. $5 admission tomorrow, too, for the biggest derby party in the city, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Derby hat contest, $500 for first place, mint julep drink specials. You want a spot to watch the Kentucky Derby, have some fun, head out to the Sam Houston Race Park. All right, Blankers, what's your reason for optimism and pessimism when it comes to the Houston Astros?
Well, I think the first reason for any kind of optimism is the fact that the pitching is going to get better. And no matter where you want to point the finger, we know the starting pitching hasn't been great when the guys that aren't the big names in your rotation have pitched. We know that the bullpen, though, there were some surprises. Overall, you'd like to see it get better at the last couple spots in the bullpen so you have more flexibility. But because of the injuries and the fact that guys are now coming back from injury and you're going to get your 1-2-3 back at the start of your rotation without great Blancos, Ben, there's a ton of optimism that once you have those four guys in the first four slots in your rotation, any team gets better. But with a team that has the potential of this roster, I think the Astros get significantly better and become the team that everybody thought they were going to be at the start of the year.
Yeah, my optimism is pretty much the same. You're getting healthier. You see the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of what can be a very good starting rotation. The big four at the top with Javi, Fromber, Verlander, and El Blanco has been a find. And then, you know, just depending on who's the hot hand for the fifth spot as you wait for Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers to come back in the summer. The bullpen in the middle has been better than I think anybody could have anticipated, thanks to Seth Martinez and thanks to Taylor with an E. Scott. They've been pretty good for you. Like, they can be in a big league bullpen. And then the big three, you just expect them to be better. And they have shown signs of being better. Hader with a two-inning outing the other day, picking up the win. Presley been much better after a shaky start. Abreu's been much better after a shaky start, getting the swing and the miss back. So I actually feel like pretty good about the pitching staff going forward when you get at full strength. And the offense is scoring runs lately, despite some of your key cogs not being very good. Alex Bregman's been atrocious. He's been abysmal. Yordan Alvarez, I'm not going to say he's been disappointing, but he's in a bit of a slump right now, and you expect him, when he heats up, that he can carry teams on his back. So you've scored a bunch of runs as of late, last five games, and you've done it without a couple of your best offensive players, and you're starting to get this thing rolling. So that's where my optimism is. What about pessimism?
My pessimism starts with the fact that this roster, with as good as we have all thought that it was going to be and should be, this roster, even with guys hitting this lineup with guys hitting above 300, the fact that they can't hit with runners in scoring position is a bit troublesome, but it's magnified by the fact that two of the key offensive positions in your lineup are question marks. Abreu is now gone. Singleton for a couple games has picked up a lot of the slack, but there's still a ton of makeup work to be done, and there's no real significant solidified answer at first base. And at third base, it's the same thing, only worse, because regardless of what year he is in his contract, Alex Bregman, no matter how many people tell you he's off to a slow start, but he's always off to slow starts, he'll get right. He just does. It doesn't look and feel and seem like the same kind of Bregman that's going to get right. There's questions in my mind if he can get right, if he will get right. And when you think the fact that the two corner infield positions have a lot of question marks for a team that's chasing down a World Series and a division title and all these things, that has reason for me to be a bit pessimistic.
John Singleton's OPS, if you're taking a look at it lately, 787. Yeah, yeah. 787 OPS from John Singleton.
Talk to me in a
Two
month.
Two homers in the last 3 days. That's fair. I want to see 3 weeks of him playing almost every day, and then we have the conversation then. Because it is too small of a sample, 51 at-bats. The course of his, I'm not even going to say the course of his big league career, just his last 2 years in the big leagues, they haven't been very good. Certainly not starting caliber first base. But let's see with a stretch and a run of course of 3 weeks of straight, you know, everyday first base. Let's see if he can win that job. He's going to get the opportunity. He's going to get the runway. So that kind of excites me that he's going to get the chance. For me, it's the record. You know, like you've put yourself behind the eight ball. I do think that there is time. I think there is a chance. But you would be doing some stuff that's almost unprecedented. The fact that you would do something that only a team since 1914 has done, get off to the start that you did and make the playoffs, that's going to make it challenging. So the record to me is my biggest thing. Like if this team was 20-11, they'd be leading the division by 3 games, and we would think that they were going to run away with the division. But they trailed by 6. Like 6 games takes a little bit of time to come from behind. The Astros did do it last year. They trailed by as many as 6 in June. And we're able to come back and get it. But the record, they put themselves in a hole that they have to dig out of, and sometimes it's too difficult. Sometimes it's too hard. But they can start tonight, taking on Seattle, a team that they're looking up in the standings, trail them by 6 games, first of 3 coming up tonight at Minute Maid Park. All right, here's the biggest homer take that I saw. I love Schwab. I love him, the czar of Astros Twitter. Big fan, and I'm sure that he's looking for a reason for optimism, which I don't blame him for that. He's thinking positive thoughts, which I don't blame him for that. But he tweeted this morning, he tweeted Alex Bregman's career month log. His splits by month, April, March, May, June, July, August, September, October. We talk about this. Like Bregman is a notorious slow starter. Schwab said, throughout Alex Bregman's career, he historically starts slow in April and some of May. There's literally data behind it. I think it's just highlighted more because of the team has been losing, but Bregman will always show up. So Bregman in April, March over his career, .248 average, .737 OPS. I couldn't let this one slide. I try hard not to respond to other people's tweets. Certainly don't like quote tweeting them, but I couldn't help myself here. So .248, .355, .381 is the slash for Bregman over the entire career in April, March. Do you know what he's doing this year? 200, 270, 273. He's down 48 points in average, 85 points in on base, 98 points in slugging. Absolutely reason for concern. Yes, Bregman's a notorious slow starter, but this has been as slow as he has ever started. And ignoring that, I think it's being a bit of a homer.
I don't disagree with you at all. It's kind of just what we were just talking about, too. When I look at him, as good as he has been his whole career, the other thing that's very concerning that kind of leads me to agreeing with that is the fact that he's been so selective at the plate. He's had such a good eye. He can work counts deep. And last night, again, swinging at the first pitch, I want to say both times it was within, if it wasn't the first pitch, it was within the first 2 pitches of at-bats with runners in scoring position, less than 2 outs and a chance to capitalize. He does not look like that same Alex Bregman of years past, whether he was scuffling or not. He still had that eye at the plate. He still seemed like he was in control of every at-bat and every pitch. He seems to be different. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Schwab's right. I hope he snaps out of it. But I have real apprehension right now because when you factor in the contract, when you factor in the gained weight, with the tinkering with the swing all the time, it just nothing seems to be syncing up right now.
Yeah, the pitchers just aren't scared of him. Like, why is he walking less? Some of it what you said, yes, obviously. But secondly, why would you be nibbling against Bregman? Why wouldn't you be
right
serving
now,
up pitches
exactly.
middle? Like, you're not scared of him. Like, whenever a pitcher is a little worried about a pitch, like a hitter's hot zone, like he's, oh, I can't throw the ball here, is when you see pitchers walk more guys than they might be accustomed to. They're not scared of Bregman. They're challenging Bregman because they're not worried that he's going to do any damage with anything they serve up. So why is Bregman's walk total down? There is some truth to what you said. Maybe his plate discipline's not as at its absolute best because he's reeling. I also think he's being challenged more than he's ever being challenged before because he can't hit right now. He can't hit.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the thing. I mean, you think back to your point, the same way they treated Abreu. When you all you had to do is look at any kind of video at all to realize he couldn't catch up with a fastball. He was having trouble catching up to a changeup. Why would I do anything but just dare him to hit my fastball until he proves otherwise? And he couldn't do it. And with Bregman, it's similar, but it's also worse because of the fact that he's swinging so early in counts now, too, that you realize that it's advantageous, one, because it doesn't look like that he can do anything with it, and two, because the less pitches you throw to him and otherwise, the longer you'll probably be around in the ballgame as well. And he's not giving you any reason to change that philosophy and mentality when he comes to the plate because he's not doing damage with the home run ball. He's only got one. I mean, and you look at what he's been in the past to what he's now, the power numbers aren't even close either, and the home runs are way down.
Yeah, so, I mean, Schwab is right in the sense that there is data backing up that Bregman's a slow starter, but there is also data saying that this is the worst start that he's ever had in his career. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. When we return, car wreck of the day every Friday, all the mean things that you said to us, your mean texts, your mean tweets, your mean twitches. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Voted Rain Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Sam Houston Race Park. When your day
is long. Thank you to Sam Houston Race Park having us out again. Looking for some live racing tonight, 6:30, first post. It's coming up in 45 minutes. Just $5 admission. Lily Oaks drink specials tonight. You can place your wagers early on tomorrow's Churchill Downs card, which includes the main event, the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And tomorrow is your place to watch the Kentucky Derby at Sam Houston Race Park. Just $5 general admission. Gates open at 8. A Derby hat contest, $500 to the winner, mint julep, drink specials, great time. Biggest Kentucky Derby party in the city of Houston. So Renell Blanco's pitching tonight. We don't have a Renell Blanco song yet.
I told Brian that's a good thing. Let's not get one then because he's been hot. Let's leave it alone until there's a necessity for one.
I like that. That's a good.
We can't jinx it. So until he has a bad game, we stay away from it.
Yeah.
You know, creatures of habit. We know how superstitious baseball players are. If he's rolling, we just got done talking about the lineup. If he's rolling, leave it alone.
Bump back dry. I'm with you on that. Whenever we do come up with a Blanco song, though, I want it to be some Latin flair. I think Blanco needs a little Latin flair. But if he's hot, don't mess with it. I like where your mind's at on that. But Blanco, 3-0, 165 ERA. George Kirby for the Mariners, 3-2, 418 ERA. The Astros get Kirby tonight, Gilbert tomorrow, and then Brad Miller on Sunday.
That's tough.
Those first two guys. The former basketball player, Bryce Miller. No, Bryce Miller might be the best of the three.
But those two guys against the Astros have been very, very good.
Yeah, that's tough. You take two of three this weekend.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
huge.
Kirby's ERA is over four, but I'm not taking him lightly at all.
No, he's always seemingly pitched well against the Astros. I'm with you, Jeremy. Look, this is one of those series where you're damn happy if you win this series.
Now, the Astros do have Blanco, Fromber, and then it was to be determined, but to be determined became Hunter Brown. So the Astros have some horses, too. Like, you feel good about Blanco, you feel good about Fromber. You probably don't feel good about Brown, although there were some encouraging things in his last start, I thought. Should be fun. What does Blanco do tonight before we get to the mean things that all of you say to us?
I'm going to go 6-2. Again.
6-2 for Blanco? I would take that, no doubt.
Yep. Six innings, two runs. I feel really good about where how he's been pitching. Obviously, Seattle's been playing good baseball, but I have no reason to believe that he won't give you at least 6-2.
Okay. I'll take that. Brian, you take that?
Yeah, 6-2. I'll always take 6-2. It really,
me too.
Regardless of the pitcher and the situation, 6-2. I'll
Hunter
take it.
Brown, 4-6.
No, I'm not taking that.
No, I won't take it.
And I don't want that.
I think he'll pitch good on Sunday. I liked what I saw in his last start. He's going to build off of that. What does Fromber do tomorrow? Since we're might as well just do all three now.
Okay, 6-2 tonight.
Oh,
no, 6-2 tonight. I'm going to go 6-3 for Fromber.
You think Blanco pitches better than Fromber?
I do. Right now, I absolutely do.
I won't take that from Fromber. I think he's better than that. I think he's better than that.
What are you giving him?
7-2 for Fromber.
Oh, okay.
Seven.
Yeah, I don't think
Fromber.
I could settle for 3 earned runs from Fromber.
No, that's a 4.50 ERA.
Yeah, I gotta aim for a little bit. I mean, his ERA is what, like around 2.50
yeah,
right
he's
now.
He's coming back from.
It's his second start.
It's not his first.
It's not
start,
his first one back, but he still said. That's why even the 7 innings is. Well, okay. I hope it happens.
You said 6-3.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to go 7 innings, and I think that he's still getting back to where he was, to where if he gives up 3 runs, I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah, I'm not taking that. I want him to be – I need my Fromber to be better than that. So I'm out on that one. All right, let's get to the mean things that all of you said to us throughout the week. Sometimes it's not even us. Like this guy just texted, he, Bregman, needs that trash can back. Ha ha. Must not be an Astro fan.
No.
Must not be an
Definitely
Astro
not
fan.
A Bregman fan and a guy that – probably feels very comfortable being able to hide behind a text message.
It's really sad, though, to see Bregman's offensive production equal the taste of his salsa. That really disappoints me. It does. Disappoints me.
I've never tried it.
Bregman has worse numbers than Maldi did last year. And look what we did with him. I would be fools to re-sign him.
That's true?
It is, yeah,
I don't
that's
think
true.
It is.
No,
is
I saw it? Some people. I saw some people doing the side-by-side comparison this morning with Maldi and Alex Bregman. It might not be Maldi's numbers this year. I think it was Maldi's numbers last year.
Because Maldi was hitting like 160 last year.
Oh, God. That's
Maldi's at 100. Maldi's 100.
I didn't
this
think
year,
it was
Maldi's
that
100.
Bad.
Let's see. Maldi in 2023 hit 191 with a 606 OPS.
Oh, he Bregman, went up with
the Bregman's
half.
Hitting 200 with a 543 OPS. So Bregman's Oof. Batting average is better, but his slugging is, I mean, 60 points lower, over 60 points
Ugh.
Lower.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's not great. All right, let's get to the we continue the mean things that you said to us. So he just said Bregman needs that trash can back. This guy says, Branham, you're so sad. You're the buffoon. I think this is when we were talking about Cal McNair and calling McNair a buffoon.
Yes.
And this guy
yep.
took, I think maybe it was Hannah. Maybe it was Hannah that was listening to the show. And she texted in.
There were a few people that took offense to the comparisons of Cal and the term buffoon.
Why, though? I don't understand why people would take offense
well, that's
to Cal
why
being
I
a buffoon.
Asked you,
he is a buffoon.
But I asked you how you define a buffoon because some people could be a buffoon and be
not intelligent.
You were that's right. You were comparing them to like special needs, though.
I was not. Don't throw me under the bus that hard.
I think you were.
I was saying from a movie.
And was he special needs?
We were talking about people that could be categorized as a buffoon.
Was the guy that you mentioned special needs?
I don't know if he had been medically assessed or not. I'm just going by a movie character.
But was he in the movie?
I said I don't know in the movie if they ever identified that he officially had special needs.
Okay. All right.
Way to turn this back on me, buffoon.
I don't take offense to that. I don't know why people would take offense to me calling Cal a buffoon, but they did. Charles Barkley, he didn't have a whole lot of nice things to say about Galveston.
No. Oh, I thought we were going to play it. No, not at all. He didn't. And then he tried to walk it back only so he could double down. I guess because Beyonce's mom,
yeah.
And he was worried about having Beyonce, Jay-Z, and her mom.
He didn't want the beehive on.
Yeah, come at him. That he said he apologized, and then right after that, he crushed Galveston again.
Yeah, he didn't have very nice things to say. That was mean of Charles Barkley, who's about to be a free agent. I think
that's
supposed to go
a
down
weird
today.
Situation.
I think he's
yeah,
going to go to
if
ESPN.
That happens, Ernie can't get out.
Yeah, well, Chuck no, Ernie, I think Ernie can, but Ernie said that he's never going to leave Turner.
God, you can't break up that show.
And then Barkley becomes a free agent because in his contract, it's if the NBA leaves Turner, he can immediately become a free agent.
But will he?
I think he'll leave Turner, yeah. If they don't have NBA, absolutely he's going to leave.
But if he's guaranteed $200 million, you walking?
I think he can get more. I think he can get more. Could you imagine him ESPN? He does all those morning shows. He's on with McAfee once a week. He's their lead basketball guy in studio. I think Barkley would be on ESPN in a heartbeat.
I'm just not sure they got the money for that from the ESPN side of things.
I mean,
they've been cutting back on everything.
They can always fire somebody.
And plus, does Turner going to want to keep paying Barkley that when they don't have any NBA?
Oh, God, no. No,
exactly.
Especially after – after the he and Gail King show was a failure.
If the NBA leaves TNT, I think Barkley's I think he's on ESPN.
I think he's the one guy that they have to have on NBC if they get the contract.
Yeah.
That's the one guy that's got to carry the studio.
I just don't know how good their studio show would be and, like, how often they use their studio. Like, I would want him on ESPN, quite frankly, because I think they can use him more than NBC would. And I think it'd be better. I think it'd be entertaining. The gag show, Gallant and George, left me on hold for an hour. Most interactive show, my bad word.
I like that.
Gallant and George. I call him the Killer G's. I think the gag show is better than the Killer G's.
It's absolutely outstanding.
I think that's what we go with.
The gag show is fantastic.
From here on out.
Most interactive show, my bad word. Do they still say that the most interactive show now that Joe's there?
Oh, sure they do.
Yeah, I believe they do.
They?
Yeah.
I didn't know that they did. Dell doesn't know ball. He's a Miami homer. There you go. These are all texts that are sent to us. I never go outside of our hours. Maybe I should. It might be entertaining. I hate listening to blankers talk about sports.
Cool.
Said a texter. I don't remember when he said this. I wonder when we were talking about sports.
Yeah, would be good so we know what the topic
Thanks
is.
For listening.
Yeah, I'll have to start writing that down.
People who hate you listen twice as long as people
sweet.
Who like you.
I think it's longer than that, isn't it? Didn't Stern say the people that like you listen for 15 minutes,
I was just using the Rush Limbaugh line. That was his line. People who hate you listen twice as long as
people
who
like you. I think Stern was 15 minutes if they like you, an hour if they don't. Hopefully this guy listened for three. Virginia, no segment is anyone's favorite if it involves BMAC.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was from Virginia.
Shots fired.
On the Twitch.
It has to be referenced to who said it, right?
Maybe it was
reference to every segment.
Yeah, it might have been. It might have been who said it actually, because I do say that about who said it. I say this is everybody's favorite
America's
segment.
Favorite game. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bet you that is what it's in reference to. Texter says, "Is blank the biggest Karen in Houston?" Question mark.
No.
I don't think that you're a bigger Karen than Ben DeBose.
Thanks. I'll treat that as a compliment.
Well, no one can win that competition against Ben DeBose.
No, they cannot.
Branham's probably a better criminal than a radio host.
You
believe that you could really pull some heist off.
I think I'd be a great criminal. I really do. I think I'd be fantastic. Who's to say I'm not already? And maybe I already am great. Vinyl Voices coming up at 7, Hall of Fame live from Vegas at 8 o'clock, Comicast at 9, Space Cowboys coming up at 7:35 on ESPN 92.5, so a busy, busy evening on the ESPN stations in this city. Thanks again for the Sam Houston Race Park for having the boys out. That's your place to watch the Kentucky Derby tomorrow, the biggest derby party in the city of Houston. It's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks to Austin for doing the hard work at Gow, Brian on-site engineering for Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you next week, Houston. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.